You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, May the 6th, and we're talking about the point guard position today. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for spreading the word on the show. Today we're going to be running down Sunday's games in the NBA playoffs, a couple of series, and knotted up at 2-2 there. We're also going to talk about some of the free agency options for the Pistons at point guard and pass along the details of the sale of Fox Sports Detroit. And I got some kind of speculation on what this might mean for the Pistons broadcasts going forward. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook. S-C-H-O-C-H, and that's another underscore after that, and then also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But the Raptors beat the 76ers on Sunday afternoon, 101-96, 39 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 assists for Kawhi Leonard. He has been the best player in these playoffs, if you haven't noticed. 29 points and 11 rebounds for Jimmy Butler in the loss, dropping that series to 2-2. There in Philadelphia for Game 4. There, Tobias Harris, former Piston, 2 of 13 from 3. And again, in case you haven't noticed, he's shooting 42% from the field in the playoffs and 36% from 3. That's field goal shooting down 6 points from his regular season average and 3-point shooting down 4 percentage points. The scoring overall down about more than 4 points per game in the playoffs, down below 16 points per game. And I know a lot of it's the shot distribution, but I mean, like I said, 13 3-point attempts for Tobias Harris from 3 on Sunday. I just have, going into his free agency year, I have questions about the level of commitment that you'd want to give him. I always thought that, even when he was with the Pistons, which is why I thought there was a universe where getting rid of Tobias Harris was almost, there was a silver lining there. I don't want to say it was a good thing, but you know, fourth quarters, we saw it with him at the Pistons that he was unbelievable in the first quarter pretty much all the time. And then by the end of the game, he kind of disappeared. I got questions about him in big games, and I think we saw a little bit of that on Sunday. Now, obviously, some time for him and the 76ers to prove me wrong. I think it's a mess. I mean, the Joel Embiid injuries throughout the playoffs obviously haven't really helped anything. But, yeah, it's definitely a compelling series. And we'll see how this one goes the rest of the way. But yeah, we'll talk a little bit about more two other teams that I expect to kind of keep it rolling. But moving on to Portland for Game 4 on Sunday evening, the Denver Nuggets get the road win after the emotional loss on Friday night in that 4 overtime game. But on Sunday, they just needed regulation to beat the hometown Blazers, 116-112, 34 points for the Canadian Jamal Murray, who was 11 of 11 from the free throw line, including 6 of 6 in the final couple minutes. A triple-double for the Joker as Nikola Jokic has 21 points, 12 rebounds, and 11 assists in that one, on top of the 21 points and 10 rebounds for Paul Millsap. So some of those guys really stepping up. However, Gary Harris, who kind of felt like he was on track for a breakout season after it really, I guess last season would kind of qualify as his breakout season, he's kind of regressed. You watch these games, it doesn't feel like he's the difference maker that he was last season, just kind of a bit player out there. I know he missed the Pistons game at home, the game in Detroit against the Pistons this year, and I feel like maybe the injuries that he's had have lingered with him throughout much of the season. But an interesting guy to watch next year try to bounce back as the Michigan State former player tries to continue down that ascension that he had, that road that was going all the way up, but he got the big contract. He's locked in for a few more years. So an interesting name to watch for Pistons fans who have a lot of interest in the local product. I guess Indianapolis is where he's from, but obviously the Michigan State tie there. But throughout the league tonight, Bucks at Celtics, 2-1 Milwaukee in that series. That's a 7 o'clock game in Beantown. A 1.5-point spread lead for the Boston. They are favored by 1.5 in this one at home. And I know Paul Pierce said this series was over after game one if the Celtics won the first game. Maybe the worst analyst on television, Reggie Miller and Paul Pierce are maybe tied for that title. And as Pistons fans, we hated those guys during their careers, so it's kind of good to see them getting universally disliked for how bad they are on TV. But yeah, Paul Pierce, game over after game one there. But also tonight, Warriors at Rockets, tonight at 9:30 p.m. These are TNT games, by the way. Houston, favored at home by 1.5. So I'm banging the Warriors and Curry there. Look, both of these scenarios are kind of the same thing, right? They're 2-1 series. The home team needs to answer and tie the series up at 2, just like the two games were on Sunday, going to series tied there. But I do feel like this is time tonight for Milwaukee and Golden State to establish themselves as the two teams who will most likely meet in the finals, which is something that's probably going to happen. I would do anything to predict against those teams, but we've danced around it on this show and also around everywhere you consume content around the NBA. But these are the two best teams, and one would expect that at the end of the day, it's going to be Milwaukee and Golden State kind of standing together in the NBA Finals. And I think that tonight could be, you know, kind of a new phase of the NBA playoffs as those teams maybe step in there, grab those 3-1 series lead, all but assure themselves, and I know there's a joke to be made there about 3-1 series lead about Golden State, but all but assure yourselves of getting to that conference finals and maybe getting a little bit of rest as well, getting a little bit of momentum going, get a couple of nice road victories. I would expect that that's what happens tonight, and then maybe there's kind of a different tone with those teams kind of going downhill the rest of the way here in the second round and then going into the Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals. But more importantly, here on this show, we're looking for the biggest Pistons fan in the world. I'll take the I got a handful of good competitive folks out there that want to win this contest, but I'm accepting more for probably through the rest of the week. I'm actually going to Las Vegas this weekend, so like we said, we'll have a little bit of a funky schedule to this week and in the beginning of next week as well. And a lot of stuff coming up here on the show. But we're looking for the biggest Pistons fan in the world. Here's how to enter. You need to send an email to my email address at matt_schoch@yahoo.com. Tell me who you are, where you're from, and also what times you might be available for a phone call for this contest. What it is, it's a single elimination trivia contest about the Pistons. You'll go one-on-one with another contestant, and if you win, you move on to the next round, tournament style. And so in addition to your free entry, and the winner, by the way, will get a Locked On Pistons t-shirt and maybe something else we might cook up as well. But so you're just going to – and what I also want from you in your entry is to give me trivia questions. So some that are not too hard, not too easy, answerable for a big Pistons fan, but not so obvious that it just becomes a question of who can get the answer out of their mouth first. So – got to find that sweet spot for trivia questions. So send along 2, 3, 4 questions, and I'll probably use them in the contest. Obviously, I won't use the trivia questions that you send in for your competition because you know the answer there. But send those in as well, and send an email, and we'll get in touch with you soon about setting up the bracket and doing this trivia contest. Looking forward to seeing how it goes and how you guys stack up with your Pistons knowledge, present, past, maybe even a little bit of future, but mostly you know, Bad Boys era and more current than that, as I realize that most of the contestants will be, you know, in their 20s or 30s, I would imagine, as that's kind of the demo of the main core of listening group. Now, apologies to some of you, maybe teenagers or older folks who are listening to, not that over 30s is older folks, I'm almost there with you, but I think you know what I'm saying as far as the consumers of podcast content these days. But up next, we're going to be talking about the point guard position and what might be available out in free agency. Vince Ellis and Rod Beard chimed in with that at the end of last week, so I figured we'd piggyback off of them and kind of copy their style and see what they had to say. But you can get the Locked On Pistons podcast on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons.
Yes!
All right, later on, we're going to talk about the sale of Fox Sports Detroit and what that might mean for Pistons fans watching the games throughout the entire winter, as we know that we all do as we sludge through the winter and get to beautiful days like we had this weekend, right? I was down at Comerica Park on Sunday afternoon checking out a walk-off win for the Tigers. Spencer Turnbull and Brandon Dixon leading the Tigers to a victory just like we all predicted that they would throughout the entire season. But Rod Beard and Vince Ellis, Rod of the Detroit News, Vince of the Detroit Free Press, both did stories at the end of last week, and we love to just aggregate the content of those beat writers and turn them into show segments here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. So I kind of they both made lists and did stories about the point guard situation for the Pistons. Obviously, to rewind a little bit, Ish Smith, who's been a Piston for the last three seasons, is now an unrestricted free agent, so he's out on the market and can sign with any team after July 1st. And then Reggie Jackson is going into the final year of his contract, which will pay him, I believe, $18 million this season. So on one hand, what could be an expiring, or what it is an expiring contract, what could be a valuable expiring contract if there's some teams that want to clear cap space going into next season's free agency. Now, the expiring nature of that deal becomes more valuable as time goes on. So for the folks that want to trade Reggie Jackson, now I've seen experts and analysts describe a one-year contract with 1 year left on it as expiring kind of in the off season leading up to that with Reggie Jackson. Some people think it's like a net neutral value. Some people say it's still a net negative value because of the overpay that you have for Reggie Jackson there. But worth keeping in mind that Reggie Jackson's trade value will probably peak at the trade deadline in February, as teams that are already kind of giving up on the season or, could kind of kill two birds with one stone, because we know that Reggie Jackson is still a useful player in the NBA. So if you're a team who wants to, A, boost your bench scoring or possibly bring Jackson in as an emergency help to like an injury situation that you might have at point guard, in addition to kind of a low commitment because it would only be for a few more months at that point, and also you have the ability to clear that cap space. So it could be, if you could find the right team come February, you might be able to find a suitor for Reggie Jackson more likely and more return-wise than you would this year. Now, the other benefit to having a player on an expired deal is that the Pistons themselves would be able to clear that cap room next season in addition to the expiring contracts of John Luehr and Langston Galloway. So there is some school of thought that, you know, there's some value in keeping Reggie Jackson, not only because the other thing I'm about to point out is that you like to have players on their contract years. It's something we maybe don't talk about enough, or sometimes we talk about too much based on the host of whatever podcast you're listening to. But I feel like maybe that gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. All the people that want to trade Luehr and Galloway and Jackson, and certainly there are good reasons to do that, but there's also a good reason in holding on to Reggie Jackson and saying, this guy's going to be pretty good this year. He's going to, he's playing for his livelihood. He's playing for another big contract, which is certainly not in the $80 million range that he got for his last one, but you could see Reggie Jackson getting a long, a 2-3 year deal for something like $10 or $12 million going forward. Now, will that come from Detroit? Time will tell. But like I said, some value there in keeping him and seeing what he's able to do in the 2019 and 20 season next year. But the Detroit News, Rod Beard, he had a bunch of names or a handful of names on his report late last week about point guards that the Pistons could pick up. And now, whether that's a backup point guard behind Reggie Jackson or someone that you put a little bit more money into, thinking that someday that they would take over for Reggie Jackson at the starter. Of course, we know the Pistons have the 15th pick of the draft as well, so that could be another option for kind of a long-term plan at starting point guard. You know, Darius Garland's out there, Kobe White's out there, some interesting names at the point guard position for college players. But of the players that Rod listed in his article about point guards, all of them were also on Vince Ellis's list of possible point guards out there. So the ones from Rod articles that doubled up, Patrick Beverley of the Los Angeles Clippers, the Bulldog defender there, Seth Curry of the Portland Trailblazers, the younger brother of Steph Curry. And man, I'm watching a lot of this Portland team in the playoffs, like I hope you guys are too. A lot to like about some of these guys. You got Al-Farouq Aminu, a free agent there, Rodney Hood. I'd take all those guys in a Pistons uniform. Obviously, you got to make some choices based on the cap situation. Then you also have Corey Joseph listed in the Detroit News article. Darren Collison of Indiana was not listed in the article, but he was by Vince, so another interesting angle to keep an eye on. And then Derrick Rose and Ricky Rubio, also mentioned by Rod Beard. But let's go to Vince's article. He had kind of a sidebar with the list of the names, included Ish Smith in there. He also had Emmanuel Mudiay, who scored a lot for the Knicks this past year. Kind of an erratic start to his career, but still only 23 years old. As I mentioned, he also listed Joseph, Rubio, Curry, Pat Beverly, and Derrick Rose. So those guys kind of doubled up on both of those lists. Vince also had TJ McConnell of the 76ers, 27 years old. And then, as I mentioned before, Darren Collison, the second member of the Pacers that is on this list. And then Vince also has the Flyer, the wild card option of 30-year-old Isaiah Thomas, coming off of a couple of seasons of injuries, most notably this past season with Denver. He's not getting any minutes in their playoff run right now. Certainly that could be kind of a home run swing for the Pistons. My thoughts on some of these guys, I don't love Ricky Rubio. I think his shot making has always been an issue throughout his career. He has improved from three, but he's probably the most expensive on this list in terms of what you could, what you have to pay him. And just not really a Rubio fan as much as some of these other guys. Seth Curry, Vince mentioned in his article that there is a belief that Dwayne Casey wants more of a traditional point guard than the combo type of guard that Curry is. And so, you know, with that in mind, you got to look at more traditional point guard types. Derrick Rose, coming off of a really good season, 18 a game for Minnesota. Of course, we know about the injury history. I'll also point out the baggage. Strange guy, not a bright guy, but possibly worth the gamble. But man, that is a roll of the dice for someone coming off their best season in a long time. Patrick Beverly feels like you're getting on kind of the downside-ish here with 30 years old. But maybe going to cash in on that first-round hype that they had, some of the performances he had, famously covering Kevin Durant for a little bit of that series. Really the only person who's had any kind of success against Kevin Durant in these playoffs. But I just kind of feel like he probably goes back to the Clippers. They find a way to bring him back. Maybe if they'll have some serious cap space there to sign a top-tier free agent and maybe bring along guys like Patrick Beverly to keep him in there and add to that supporting role that they've built, the culture there with Doc Rivers and the Clippers. TJ McConnell, which Vince mentions, not a great shooter, not really great at anything, really kind of the whitish Smith. I brought that up once earlier this season. I think someone really took issue with that, but the cross-racial references, we'll do that sometimes here. But McConnell is kind of ish Smith, but worse, in my opinion. I think that you would prefer ish Smith at the end of the day, bringing him back. And also because he's familiar with this locker room, would know the system easily, kind of a seamless mix there. And Ish Smith is a guy who kind of is a leader in that locker room for the Pistons. So nice to bring him back if the options were, in my mind, McConnell and Ish Smith in a vacuum. Isaiah Thomas, mentioned by Vince, I'm not completely out on Isaiah Thomas. Obviously, this would be one for the medical staff to give the okay on. But it might be kind of the home run swing that the Pistons need to take when you look at this team going forward. But again, I'm keeping my eye mostly on Indianapolis. What do they do with the Pacers this year? They've got a big offseason ahead of them. Thad Young, Tyreke Evans, Bogdanovich, Corey Joseph, and Darren Collison, all unrestricted free agents. They've got a couple of guys that they could make some options on to give even more cap room. They're like Oladipo and Miles Turner and then a few other randoms there. That are on the roster coming back. So this team could look a lot different going forward. But then again, one would suspect that the culture they've created and the season that they've had this year in the first round before Oladipo went down, or in the regular season before Oladipo went round, would suggest that a lot of these guys will probably come back, I would think. Also keep in mind, they drafted Aaron Holiday in the first round last year. You would imagine that he gets slotted into that depth chart at the starting or backup point guard sooner rather than later, which creates probably a need and a want for them to probably jettison and save money without, you know, paying for Darren Collison and Corey Joseph. So you would think at least one of those guys would be available in the free agent market in a real way, and that Indiana wouldn't want to bring them back. Darren Collison is a very reliable three-point shooter. He's been one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA. For the past couple of years, I believe he led the league 2 years ago and was, again, very good last year. Corey Joseph is not that shooter. He's a 32% three-point shooter in his career and last season. A little bit less minutes, a little bit less scoring. But both these guys were reliable, played in most, if not every game for the Pacers this year. Darren Collison, more established, probably better in day one, but he's 31 years old. Corey Joseph, maybe a little bit more upside, 27 years old. Another thing worth pointing out is that Corey Joseph played in Toronto for Dwayne Casey. So obviously, if you bring in Corey Joseph, you know that Dwayne Casey probably had a big effect on the thinking for the front office in that scenario there. So another guy that was not on either of the lists is Elfrid Payton, kind of forgotten in NBA circles. That's what happens when you play in Orlando, Phoenix, and New Orleans. But a guy who really had kind of a solid season for the Pelicans in relative anonymity this past year, but still young, and another guy who could be an upside type of pick. I'm consistent with this now. I'm going with upside guys. I think that you need to kind of find that, you know, and obviously I'm not thinking any of these guys will turn into Chauncey Billups, but a guy that has established himself a little bit, but still has room to grow. I don't want a guy who's at the end of his prime or a guy who's cashing in on the big paycheck right now. I'm not looking at Ricky Rubio. I'm not looking even at Darren Collison, although his game is nice. His three-point percentage is really nice too. And even Patrick Beverley. And if you listen to the show, you know I like these Bulldogs, these guys that are defensive first, tough guys as well. I'd put Derrick Rose into that category too. I'm looking at more guys that are entering their primes, a Seth Curry type, a Corey Joseph type, and really Elfrid Payton as well. Those are guys that I would have high on my list going forward. But let me know what you guys think. Reach out to me on Twitter, and maybe we'll read some of the responses tomorrow of who you like as possible point guard options for the Pistons this summer. But remember to get this show every day. Subscribe to the Locked On Pistons podcast on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at the App Store and subscribe to Locked On Pistons. Next, we're going to talk about the Fox Sports Detroit sale and what that could mean for Pistons fans watching on TV. Well, Fox Sports Detroit was purchased, and it's not official yet, but they're working on the deal. Now, what happened was Disney purchased 21st Century Fox's entertainment division, and the U.S. Department of Justice, in all of their wisdom, said that the regional sports networks, the Fox Sports Detroits of the world, need to be broken off of that company so that Disney could complete that sale, because you don't want to have too much of a monopoly of ESPN and then adding all the Fox Sports Detroit channels in there. Now, that meant that the company had to sell all of those properties there, like I said, including Fox Sports Detroit. Now, Sinclair Broadcasting Group last week stepped up. They're a conglomerate of stations around the country, have come under fire recently, by the way, for being politically right-wing leaning, forcing local TV broadcasters to read certain stories and things like that. And again, we're not going to get into that kind of stuff here, but it's a little bit of a lightning rod company. There's people who, you know, kind of fear that them taking over the media landscape will produce more of Fox News type of content out there, which is, you know, I think we've all got our opinions about what that's done to the discourse of this country in the past 10 or 20 years, but I digress. So Sinclair is the largest number of local TV stations under their umbrella in the country, and they're going to get Fox Sports Detroit in addition to 20 other regional sports networks for a deal of $10.6 billion. So, of course, we know the Tigers, the Red Wings, and the Pistons are all on Fox Sports Detroit. The Pistons are under contract through Fox Sports Detroit through 2021. And we would assume that, of course, that those deals would all move on to the Sinclair new owners. So what we've heard in these past few months is that the Ilitches are exploring starting their own network around here, similar to what the YES Network in New York, and I think NESN in Boston. There's large markets sometimes have their own cable networks that are not a Fox Sports Detroit conglomerate, but a type where they're on their own. So maybe the teams and the Ilitches, of course, owning the Tigers and the Red Wings and possibly getting the Pistons involved as a Little Caesars Arena partner too, that maybe there's some possibilities there. Now, we haven't heard much about that since the exploration that they were going to be going for that kind of research this past year. So again, we haven't heard any updates about that. And we also know that Tom Gores, Pistons owner and Platinum Equity, was involved in a group that was interested in purchasing the channels, in addition to Ice Cube was out there trying to purchase the channels as well. But ultimately, it's going to be Sinclair. Now, Sinclair has also purchased the YES Network recently. They are pairing up with the Chicago Cubs to form a new network as well that will show Cubs games. So it's not like there's going to be a huge format change. You would imagine that there will be a rebranding of sorts, whatever this channel ends up being called. But there's certainly the leader in the clubhouse in terms of where the Pistons broadcasts are going to live would be an extension of this contract here with the Pistons and whatever this entity that Fox Sports Detroit is now will become in the future. But worth keeping in mind that the Ilitches are exploring that. We know that the Ilitches are under fire lately around here for District Detroit, rightfully so. And I saw Denise Ilitch on Michigan Matters on Sunday morning. Thought she did another poor job of not answering that question about what's going on with District Detroit, by the way. And status quo kind of continues there. But interesting to see whether we hear anything new soon about the Ilitches further exploring their own network. So that's what that could kind of mean for Pistons fans. Obviously, if that happens, you're probably talking about all new talent. You're probably talking about all new studio look and possibly different types of people that are doing that broadcast. However, if the Sinclair plan just kind of continues, I wouldn't expect that much changes in terms of the look and feel from Fox Sports Detroit. Now, when you're thinking about a couple seasons down the road, another thing to keep in mind is whether longtime voices like George Blaha and Mark Champion would be continuing with the stations. Obviously, we know Mark on radio and George on TV. And certainly, my opinion is we'd want them to stay along as long as they possibly would. But maybe this ownership change could be an impetus for those guys to think about hanging up the microphones after all these great years that they've had in the Detroit market. And of course, that has kind of a cascading effect of all the other things that would happen when those dominoes fall in the media job markets as well. And you know your boy Matt's going to be keeping a close eye on all that stuff, by the way. But that'll do it for our show today. This is Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons podcast saying thanks for joining us. Get your entries in for the Biggest Pistons Fan in the World contest, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.